Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman, who's very warm where she is right now. Of course, Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. We welcome in the warm one, Dr. Werpman. Good morning.
Good morning. It sounds like you're pretty toasty also. I didn't realize that you were, you know, having your program by a wood-burning fire after you went out and chopped all the wood down, et cetera. But I'm glad you finally have some heat.
That's right.
Well, he did. He chopped wood. He was great. He was fantastic at the wood pile.
Oh. No, I was.
Well, it's good exercise, right?
I'm like the wood chuck. I chuck the wood.
Right.
Those Geico commercials are funny. I spoke to someone who actually doesn't think they're funny. Now, she has no sense of humor, I admit, but it's still, how can you not? Particularly the Pinocchio Geico commercials. The Pinocchio is a motivational speaker, and then there's another one with him sitting in a restaurant, and I don't know what happens there.
A woman comes in, he had a dating service, and he doesn't look anything like his picture, and then he starts to lie in his nose.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I like the one in which you're supposed to look like, you start acting like your mother.
That's a different
restaurant, like you ask the server.
No.
How are you
going
to support yourself if you're an art major?
That's true, but you know what's funny about that? You just picked a different insurance company. So there you go.
That's true. Anyway, I guess, you know, in a sense, what I sent you today was sort of a joke on myself, because here I think of myself as being not athletic at all. I never thought I had athletic bone in my family, in my body, and I'm pretty uncoordinated when it comes to hand-eye motion. But, you know, I thought, okay, I could do most of the stuff in the gym pretty well. And then a friend of mine invited me to try her new fancy Bellaton bike, in which you get on and you plug into a program and follow the instructor for about 25, 30 minutes, who keeps increasing or decreasing the resistance. That's how hard it is to pedal the bicycle, and how rapidly you're doing this. And you can cheat. Of course, I did cheat. But the bottom of the screen has the resistance as the zone in which you're supposed to be. You know, like you're supposed to be pedaling at, let's say, 55 resistance. I don't know what that means, and maybe 80 revolutions per minute. And it lights up when you're in the zone, and of course, it's absolutely not lit when you're not in the zone. And I thought I was, you know, going to have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation before I could finish this program, because it was so hard. And it was only billed as an advanced beginner, not someone who's been doing this kind of cycling, you know, for 10 years or so. And when I finished the bicycle and sort of wiped up the puddle of sweat on the floor, you know, I thought, gee, I must not be exercising at the level that I should be exercising, you know, to get the most benefit, you know, according to all the studies. And so in reading about it, you know, I realized that, you know, if one is very casual about the intensity or the duration, the frequency at which you exercise, you really may not be hitting the target zone, so we're to give you the most benefit in terms of your cardiovascular output, if you have, say, diabetes or any other kind of chronic disease, you know, whether it's really going to benefit you, whether it's going to have any effect on your cognition or your sleep, or basically your longevity. And that most of us, I think, when we exercise, unless we're with a trainer or we're pretty careful about, you know, how long we're running and our heart rate and what have you, just don't pay that much attention to it. And we don't perhaps, well, I shouldn't generalize, that some of us do not push ourselves to the point where we really could, you know, walk faster, climb a hill rather than walking on a flat surface, perhaps go more frequently, you know, not be content as, or go longer. Like I mentioned, a neighbor of mine over 20 years has been running only 2 miles a day and had no intention of ever running longer, even though his body, his legs were certainly accustomed to doing this two miles and could have done much more.
When can I interject?
I think it's something that people should simply think about, not people who've never exercised, but people who've been doing it for a long time and really consider themselves, you know, pretty fit.
And when can I interject?
Pardon?
I said, when can I interject? But I guess
please.
This means...
I'm sorry, I mean to be rambling on.
No, you're not rambling at all. You have presented your case, and I am now going to demolish it. Are you ready?
Okay.
And this is kind of interesting, because where you make a very excellent point is that people should examine their exercise. And if you really aren't doing it, you should modify if you can. However, right. if you are on a maintenance like your friend, and that maintenance is working for you, that is not an automatic invitation to start upping just because. And I'm, by the way, I am a maintenance person, and people have asked, how do you do it? What happens? And because I'm sure you remember, no pain, no gain.
Right, of course.
And it funded, no pain, no gain funded an entire industry of runners blowing out their knees in orthopedic surgery, and everybody, like everybody went out and, you know, I'm gonna work harder.
Right. Well, okay. All right.
No, no, in a lot of cases,
Oh, sure, and it's also these aerobic classes where you try to keep up with an instructor who has no intention of making sure that you're doing the exercise correctly.
Right, and the same thing with you're plugged into an instructor, right? And
exactly.
You've got no, the person is not, it's virtual. So they
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. They can't really tell you that you've just come back from, you know, your fit butt. I mean your device, it's on you. What I'm trying to say is it's on you, and I do know more people, I'm afraid, than not that don't know how to manage their bodies and their exercise. So I would just strongly encourage.
Oh, sure, sure. No, okay. The point is that according to, you know, I read a fair amount about this. There's such a simple test to see whether you're exercising at the point where you're really perhaps improving your cardiovascular output. And if you're doing an easy level of exercise, it's really cute, but it works, especially if you're beginning to be a runner, for example, or walking fast. If you can talk and sing at the same time, then you're exercising at a low level. It may be perfect for you, especially if you're not used to exercising. If you can talk but you can't sing, because that obviously requires more, I guess, output from your lungs, then you're exercising at a moderate level, which is where you should be. If you are simply, as I was, stupidly exercising at too high a level, I mean, I did this because I wanted to see what was going on, but I was gasping. I certainly could not speak in a whole sentence. That is too high. That intensity is much too high for you, for anybody, unless you are under the guidance of a coach who's trying to train you for the Olympics. I mean, that's a different situation entirely. But my friend, my neighbor, the one who ran 20 miles a day, probably could have read the New York Times on his jog, because for him, he was so fit, there was absolutely no physical output at all. I mean, it was like, for him, a fast walk. And if he was seriously thinking about trying to improve his cardiovascular status, if he needed to, then running, you know, at a certain pace for 20 years, a certain same distance, might not have had the input that he really was looking for.
Yeah. No, it's like so many things. We do a show that it's called Ask the Vet, Pet Files Ask the Vet. And
Each
thing ultimately ends up with, you know, but you should probably check. And
oh, sure.
And you know, because you, there's, and this, the scourge that is all of this information and Dr. Google and so forth, has limited an entire generation's ability to know what they should be checking.
That's absolutely right. And why? And why are you exercising? You're not exercising because if you put on a cute outfit, which, by the way, apparently costs much more money these days than when one started exercising, because fashion is what it's all about in the gym. But it's not about putting on a cute outfit and going to exercise. It's really just about improving your health. And I have friends who, you know, cannot really walk very fast, and that's fine because they have back problems, knee problems, etc. There's no reason why they should push themselves. But if somebody, before some, I look at myself, and it says sometimes I will admit it. You know, I'll be listening to a book on tape, and I'll be sitting on a bicycle, sort of casually pedaling away, and I'm thinking, I could be sitting in an armchair. You know, I'm not even paying attention to my exercise, and I'm not really doing my body any good. No, not bad, but not any good either.
Well,
that was a wake-up call for me.
All right, which we really appreciate. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman.
Okay. Very good. We'll argue next week again about something else, right?
Food for Bye-bye. Mood.
Of course, you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio on Thursday mornings, right before This Week in the Lakeville Journal.